This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On The Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Kurt Vile was a founder of the rock band The War on Drugs. But he left the band shortly after its debut to make records all of his own. His albums with his backing band, The Violators, include Childish Prodigy, Smoke Ring for My Halo, and last year's record, Bottle It In. He's sometimes been characterized as slacker rock, but he takes songwriting extremely seriously.
Loved you all a long, long while. Looked down into a deep, dark well. Called all your names, they echoed down for miles and miles. And all that other mystical well, never you mind.
Kurt Vile, that's his real name by the way, has also appeared on the comedy show Portlandia and HBO's animated series Animals. He played a singing squirrel. In the fall of 2018, he joined Amanda Petrusich on stage at the New Yorker Festival.
You were a clue on Jeopardy last year. This is one of my favorite Kurt Vile facts.
Well, it's college Jeopardy.
Well, it's kind of a weird clue. The clue was the Violators assist this pretty pimpin' rocker in his foul work.
Yeah. He's the Riddler. Like, how nobody could even understand. Even if they knew the answer, they'd be like, wait, what?
It was a complicated
clue. Going on there.
Nonetheless, I would imagine being a Jeopardy clue has to be some sort of milestone. That's got to be super weird. Who was the first person who told you?
You don't know her.
You grew up one of 10 children. Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up in your family?
Yeah, it was pretty annoying. No, it was pretty cool, but it was like no space, you know, for, like, the boys' room had 5 boys in it. Because of that, I can, like, sleep through anything, and I can just tune in and out whenever, you know, whenever people are talking, I can, like, be listening or not.
And now you yourself have got 2 young daughters. How would you characterize yourself as a parent?
Father of the year. No, it's awesome having kids, and they're still pretty young, and they're really into music and reading, and they're total brats in the best way.
Do they like your songs?
Yeah, like the one, my oldest, Awilda, she's like listens intensely to words. And the youngest, Delphine, she'll go straight to a piano or guitar and just start playing. So,
when did you start writing songs?
Well, I started playing a string instrument, like a banjo, when I was 14. I probably started writing songs right around then. But I made my first like cassette when I was 17. I would put out a tape or a CDR, but I would call it my album as if it was like really, really, you know. But they didn't really become real albums until I was 28. But
Did you make your own cover art
CDRs? Yeah.
I used to do that for mixed CDs. So the banjo was your first instrument, and that's kind of what you learned to write on?
Yeah, my dad wished I was like a bluegrass musician. So like a year before, maybe when I was 13, he hung it over my head later. He's like, we were going to get you a guitar for Christmas, but you were really bad this year. So the next year, he's like, I could get you this banjo. And I wasn't sure, but then He worked for SEPTA, like drove trains, and a conductor, he basically was going to buy the banjo off this conductor, and the conductor played it over the phone, you know, the telephone, not the cellophone. And it sounded really cool through the telephone, so I was like, all right. But I kind of just treated it like a guitar. I just strum it, but yeah.
Who are some of your favorite songwriters?
So many, let's see. You know, there's like the classics, of course, like Bob Dylan and Neil Young, and then there's like Townes Van Zandt.
Well, you had the chance to open for Neil Young last year.
John Prine. Yes, I opened for Neil Young recently. It was pretty funny. I was terrified. There was like 80,000 people. And,
wow.
And I just kind of like what I'm doing now, but with the guitar in my hand. I came out real cocky. I was like, joke singing like some kind of Stevie Nicks thing, and then I was like, I got the crystal vision, and then I was like,
did you get a chance to meet Neil?
I met him multiple times, but only for a split second, and the best time was a couple times before I got backstage. It was the first time I saw him with Promise of the Real, and these kids, Willie Nelson's sons and other kids, they back him up really good, and I weaseled my way backstage with my wife Suzanne, and she egged me on to like say hi, and so I did, and I was like, oh, Neil, I've seen you like 10 times, and it's always amazing, but this was the best by far, Down by the River, which was like 30 minutes long. I was like, it's like you were underground in outer space at the same time. It was unbelievable. And he was like, he was smiling all nice, and then when I said that, he was like, oh yeah, we can go in outer space whenever we want. And then I got a picture with him. That was cool. Every time I see him, it's where he just played a show. And even if we have friends in common, it doesn't matter because you're just like, I'm still a fanboy. But this last time, his bandmates, I'm hugging all of them. They, like in between, they're all passing around a jazz cigarette. I'm usually scared to do this. I used to love it as a kid, and then I can't. It's harder to deal with it, but I'm trying. But anyway, I grabbed it from the drummer, and me and my wife tried it out for the first time ever. No, just kidding. But then, anyway, they came off the stage, and we're feeling really weird, and everybody's sort of just around him. And then he's just about to get away, as he usually does. And then I was like, well, I should just give him the Sadie CD, which is my friend's that we have. He knows who the Sadies are, and usually it just makes more sense than being like, hi, I'm Kurt Vile again. So I was like, I'll just give him this Sadie CD. So I literally jumped down and I was like, hey, Neil, you get the new Sadies? And then everybody was like, hey! And they all, and like his manager, Elliot Roberts, he's a legend, but he's old now. And he was like about to check me like a hockey player. But then I got it to him though.
There is I think, a dryness and a kind of absurdist humor to a lot of your lyrics that I just find so sort of intoxicating and beguiling. Some of it recalls, I mean, you mentioned Dylan, you mentioned John Prine, I think two lyricists and writers who do this really well. A line like, girl, you gave me rabies, and I don't mean maybe.
Yeah, well.
I mean, how do you sort of think about lyrics in relation to rhythm or in relation to melody, and kind of where does the lyric writing fall within your songwriting process?
Well, and I don't mean maybe. I plagiarized from like Bo Diddley or other people, you know, they always say that, or other blues people, they say, and I don't mean maybe. And then,
they don't rhyme it with
rabies. And then the girl you gave me rabies, that's a true story. So.
How did you get rabies, Kurt?
From a girl.
I'm not buying this.
Well.
Is this like rabies the new mom?
No, I'm lying.
It's the kissing
I'm
disease?
Lying.
I figured. Why don't we hear some music?
Okay. All right.
Well, I woke up this morning, didn't recognize the man in the mirror. Then I left and I said, oh, silly me, that's just me. Then I proceeded to brush some stranger's teeth, but they were my teeth, and I was weightless, quivering like some leaf coming in the window of a restaurant. I couldn't tell you what the hell it was supposed to mean, cause it was a Monday, not Tuesday, not Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then Saturday came around and I said, who that stupid clown blocking my bathroom sink? But he was sporting all my clothes, the guy say pretty pimping. Yeah.
The musician Kurt Vile. He spoke with Amanda Petrusich, who writes about music and culture and much more for The New Yorker.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.